You are listening to Punk News Podcast. I don't even know what number this is. It's chaos, and we got a big backlog. It's chaos and Punk News. We're swimming through the bullshit. This is John G and Tom Trauma. Adam White is out this week, but let's get this podcast started.
Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony. Side by side on my piano keyboard. Oh Lord, why don't we?
And we're back, and welcome to some number of the Punk News Podcast. Adam White is
four
not here this 20 week.
Something, 4:30 something, maybe?
Whatever, man. Like, whatever. It's like Lord of the Flies. You know what I mean?
So, yes, it is. It's, especially now that the big boss man's not here, we can run wild, do whatever we want.
Adam White is not here, unfortunately. He's taken one for the team, and he is editing the big backlog of Punk News Podcast. So much love to Adam. He will be here next week. So that means for you, it's just me and Tom Trauma. John G and Tom Trauma hanging out, having a good time. Tom, now that Adam's not here, let's talk about this. Adam White often self-negs the Punk News Podcast. And I will say, sometimes it's kind of funny, but sometimes it annoys me. What do you think Adam White is trying to do when he negs the Punk News Podcast?
Well, I think, you know, it's a grand punk tradition to be sort of self-deprecating. And, you know, the funny thing is, he loves to talk about how sort of loose and disorganized we are, and he's absolutely right. But you take that as like a insult, where I think it's sort of what makes it endearing, you know. So I think he nags because he loves.
You know what I mean?
It's like you listen to, you know, like a Sex Pistols live show, and what made them magical wasn't the fact that they were so tight musically. It was just the sort of disheveledness was actually part of the charm. I'd like to think that we're like the Sex Pistols at that one prison show they played. That's what the podcast is.
Kelmsford Prison. I have that. Yes, that myself.
I do too. I had the bootleg.
It's terrible sound quality. I mean, some of those Sex Pistols live
bootlegs. It's very flat. Yeah. Very flat, Sonic.
Well, I agree with you, Tom. I will say, we often take fire from a few of the other punk sites, many of which have collapsed by now. And one of the things that I think they get totally wrong is they have rule upon rule upon rule of what they can post, the topic. And at Punk News, we have almost no rules, Tom. And I remember someone said, I said, well, these websites all got lots of rules. We don't have that many rules. And someone's like, do you mean standards? No, I mean rules. And Tom, one of the things I love about Punk News is we have almost no rules. You know what I mean? We got like three rules.
And I don't even know any of them. We have three, and I know none of them.
Well, listen, it was actually,
you know, you're right, John. I mean, you know, make fun of us if you will, and you know, your flavor of the month might be popular now, but at the end of the day, Punk News is the Titanic. We are the unsinkable ship.
You're 20, baby. So listen, honestly, not a huge news this week. Not a lot of huge news this week. Nothing crazy. So it might be a little bit of a short episode. It's just going to be John and Tom hanging out. This past weekend was the World Inferno. Well, I'm going to retroactively name it the World Inferno weekend. I threw two World Inferno shows in one day.
It'll be about 2 months ago, kids, when you hear this.
It'll be the next the one next year. Yeah. And so World Inferno actually wrote to me and said, hey, John, we love the Summer Soiree 1. Can you throw another World Inferno show? And I said, yes, but we got a very short notice. And so the venue they wanted to use was Philomoka, which is where we had Summer Soiree 1. But the problem is that there was a sold-out show there that night, so we decided to do a matinee. And then the matinee did sell out, so we're like, hell, let's do a second show at Creep Records, one of my other favorite Philly venues, a record store. So we threw two shows. World Inferno has a lot of new people in the band. Sandra is gone. Jess Townsend is gone. The older guitar player is gone. They've got a new guitar player. But the new band, I mean, I love all eras of World Inferno, but the current one is fantastic. The first show was a looser show. They played for like an hour and 50 minutes, which is a pretty long set. The openers were Quam from New York City, which are an amazing punk band, kind of like a art punk band to a degree. And before that was Catbite, which is a Philadelphia ska band, two-tone ska band. And they were phenomenal as well. And the show was loose. It was great, but the evening show was the real treat because they only did a 15-minute set there, but they did so many rarities. They did.
Did you say 15 minutes?
Oh no, 50-minute set. We were running
50
late.
50 minutes. Okay.
They were supposed to have an hour set at night, but we were running late. So it was World Inferno in a record store, which is like World Inferno is too big of a band for a record store, but we did it anyway, and it was awesome. The openers were The Brood, which are kind of like Discharge to a degree, and then Trash Knife, which are like an amazing, like party punk, wild, like kind of like second wave punk band, and that they're just like almost like the Dead Boys to a degree, I guess, but like wilder and crazier, like just awesome.
So,
stuff.
So are they like, did they leave the like racks of records there, or do they like clear it out, or do they have a space for separate space for the show, or how does that work?
Honestly, Creep Records is awesome because it actually has a venue attached to it.
Now, oh, okay, so it's got a separate room.
Right. Well, it's actually usually like their storage room, but they clear it out for like the shows. Uh-huh. And it's got like a mini stage and everything. Like it's awesome. I'll tell you, Tom, I never want to throw a show in a bar ever. I mean, it's awesome. When you don't have to deal with the bars, when you don't have to deal with sometimes you need bouncers. When you don't have to deal with like issues involved with alcohol and over or under 21. You pay your money, you show up, you use your door guy, you take care of tickets yourself, you have a good time, and then everybody leaves when it's over.
So were both shows alcohol free, all ages shows?
Well, it was don't ask, don't tell alcohol wise. You know, so if you brought in alcohol, I wasn't looking, but I wasn't offering or selling. You know what I mean?
Oh, see, now that's cool. I mean, listen, I have a flask, I rarely get to use it. I've been to shows like that before. So what I always, me being the degenerate that I am, problem is like, if there's like a close by bar, like within a block, like between bands when they're setting up, you'd like run and have a drink really quick and then run back to the venue. Was any of that going on?
Now, I mean, honestly, the Philly scene is pretty prevalent in bringing your own six pack to a show. You know?
Yeah. I love that too. I got no issue with that.
And so a lot, I mean, people were pretty flagrant, but like, not my problem, really. You know, I'm not encouraging it. I'm not saying it's okay, but I'm not the cops. You know what I mean?
Yeah, record stores are kind of in one of those weird gray areas because it's like a private thing. You know, if they want to let people have beer, they can, but it's not exactly legal. It's not like it's a bar. Yeah, but no, that's cool, though.
And the World Inferno set was, they did Jerusalem Boys. When I don't know if I've ever heard them do that song before. Live, that is. And the evening, and I don't know if it was just because it was smaller and quicker, but the evening show was probably like the second best World Inferno show I've ever seen. And I was counting them up. I've seen them about 25 times now, and it was just awesome. Everybody had a good time. And I wish I had some crazy stories like Summer Soiree 1 or Summer Soiree 2, but there was nothing really that crazy, Tom. It was just two awesome shows, and everybody had
straight
a good
up,
time.
Straight up show. You know, did the second show end up selling it? The second show sell out?
Packed house. Almost sold out, packed house.
I mean, how many people went to both?
Actually, Tom, what percentage of you think people went to both?
I'd say half.
It was like 10%. I thought it would be. I thought it would be like the same people at both shows. It was almost completely different people at both shows.
Especially if they played different sets.
We even advertised it. I was very surprised by that. You know, first show.
I'm a big fan of like watching a band two or three nights in a row. I've done that on multiple occasions.
Oh, yeah.
I always think that's cool. I don't know if I'll do that this year or not, but I do. I like that. That's fun.
And we're going to talk about Peter Murphy later. Peter Murphy's doing this awesome thing in San Francisco where he's in San Francisco for like 3 months. On every once for a week, he's doing a full album and then his next album. So he's doing like 12 albums in a row in San Francisco, and he's ending it with an all Bauhaus set. And we're going to talk about this later, and then an all David Bowie set, which is going to be awesome. We'll talk about that in a minute. So, anyways, people, it was 175 at the first show, and the second show was like 135. So that's like was that
310 people?
Yeah. So it was a good time, man. Everybody had a great time, and we've got some new stuff coming up real soon. And Summer Soiree 3 is going to be this summer. And Tom Trauma, I really do hope you can make it out, man.
Man, I would love to. I don't know. I don't even know what my summer holds yet.
Meanwhile, Tom saw Dropkick Murphys.
You don't have that booked yet, do you, John? That's not public knowledge or anything yet.
What book?
The Summer Soiree.
Oh, do I have it booked yet?
Yeah, that's
no. But
that's not public yet or anything. The date, anything.
I actually committed myself because in the program I handed out the World Inferno shows, I put in there World Inferno will be back this summer for Summer Soiree 3. The public info is in the works right now. I'm working on it, and I'll have more information very soon. Hopefully, I'm trying to get a couple of awesome things lined up. Two awesome things kind of fell through, but that's just how it is with these kind of things. So sure. I don't know if Summer Story 3 is going to be the last show I ever throw or not. I haven't decided yet, but I'm going to try to make it my very best and neatest and coolest show. At Punk News shows, we always do unique things. At the last show, we gave out glow bracelets. I had programs. Oh, and between each of the bands at the second show, I played nothing but New Orleans bounce music. Tom, do you know what bounce music is?
I don't.
Bounce music is like, I just learned about it not that long ago, and I hated it, and then I loved it, and I thought the punk scene was like I almost wimped out and just played like glam rock, but I said no, I got to do it. You like punk news shows are very, and actually Tom, let's talk about one thing in a minute. But punk news shows are unique, and we break the rules of like. In Philadelphia, there's a place called Cousin Danny's, which I love. I love Cousin Danny's. They put awesome shows on there, but it's very maximum rock and roll style punk. You know what I mean? Like the whole scene.
Yeah.
And so for punk news, I'm like, no. I'm not going to beat them at that game, so I'm going to do my game, you know? So we played New Orleans bounce music, which is very, very, very abrasive, explosive, random, and silly by design dance music. And most of the singers are homosexual men or men that wear women's clothes, or transgender people. And my favorite one is Big Frida. And Big Frida, now...
Is it rock, or is it just like techno, or what?
It's hip-hop-ish and dance music-ish. And I'll play some at the end of the show.
But singing or like rapping?
Good question. It's kind of rap beats to a degree, but singing over top. It actually, to a degree, like, you know what carnival music is, and mento and stuff?
Dude, it sounds horrible, but yes.
No, it's amazing, Tom. It's basically mento music.
Are you sure, John, your first instinct to hate it wasn't the right instinct?
I'm sure, Tom. I am sure. When people, so big, and
tomorrow when I take my lunch, I'm going to go on YouTube and I'm going to listen to some New Orleans bounce music. I see you, I'm going to punch you in the nose, aren't I?
Check out Big Frida, Big Frida's track, Excuse. It's called Excuse. Another one, check out Nikki the Bee, Hot Potato Style. And those are my two favorites. And I was wondering if the punk scene was going to hate it. Tom, they loved it. They were dancing like crazy.
Oh, good for them. But that being said, that's a World Inferno crowd. That's not a Discharge crowd.
True. World Inferno crowd is the best
crowd. I mean,
World Inferno,
I know they're World Inferno is thrown in with, I mean, they're a punk band, but they don't play punk music. You know what I mean? Like orthodox punk music, you know?
Depending on what your definition, I disagree with that, but I agree that they don't play like, you know, Discharge or Three Chord.
Yeah, they don't play orthodox punk music, John. They don't play, you know, traditional style punk music.
But also, like, World Inferno crowds are the best because they come to have fun. Like, that's not true for all punk shows, you know? But World Inferno, the crowd comes to
sometimes
have
it's,
fun.
Sometimes when they come to have fun, it's worse.
What do you mean?
The fun crowd, I don't know. The fun crowd and the punk crowd shouldn't necessarily be the same crowd, you know?
Well, speaking of not having fun, Tom, you saw Dropkick Murphys and you did not have fun.
I wouldn't say that I didn't have fun, but it was pretty annoying. A lot of it was pretty annoying. And, you know, I reviewed it fairly thoroughly, as I'm prone to do. But the big takeaway for me was that the bass player, who for years has been taking on more of the lead singing roles, much to the chagrin of us that were fans of the band's way back, was not playing the bass at all. So they had two singers running around the whole time. And I compare them to, you know, the Linkin Park of punk, and most people agreed with my assessment. A few people took issue with it and said that maybe he wasn't playing because he physically is unable anymore, and I'm not sure, but it was, I mean, I've had worse Tuesday nights out in the town, but, you know, when you're at a House of Blues type venue to begin with, and you're drinking $10 beers, and there's a lot of frat boy type people there, the show has to sort of be that much better to make up for all that, you know?
Why do you think, I mean, the frat boys, were they actual frat boys, or were they frat boys 15 years ago there?
Yeah, that would be probably more like it. Actually, it was better than last time. I remember last time so we have this new venue in town. It's like a House of Blues type venue. It holds 2,600. It's managed by the same people who manage the House of Blues venues. The drinks are outrageously expensive. It's been able to bring in a level of band that Grand Rapids wasn't. We didn't really have a place for that, like, 2,000 draw band. So they actually, like, the Descendants played there. It was pretty amazing. So there's been some cool stuff. And bottom line, if they book something I want to see, I'll go see it no matter what I think of the venue. But 2 years ago, Dropping Rivers was one of the very first bands they booked when they opened 2 years ago. So we're like, you know what? We're never going to go to this place. This might be the only show we'll ever go to here. So we ended up going to that, and we brought our wives even. And that show, I remember thinking, I've never seen so few. This wasn't even a rock and roll crowd, a punk crowd. It looked like the young professionals out on Friday night crowd. I swear, a lot of them looked like they just took their tie off and went to the show, you know. And I didn't think it was so bad this time. But I remember going to see Dropkick Murphys back in the day, and it was just like muscular guys in kilts. And I mean, I think there's a real fine line between the Dropkick Murphys crowd and the Five Finger Death Punch crowd, if we're being honest. Anyway, it was, you know, there was some good bands, and, you know, we had some good company with friends, and, you know, it wasn't a terrible night out. It was just, I thought the Dropkick Murphy set was pretty uninspired, but
is Dropkick Murphy,
a lot of people disagreed.
Is Dropkick Murphy's getting what they always wanted, or have they backed themselves into a corner?
My personal opinion on this is they made some decisions in order to take the band to the next level and sort of turned their back on their punk base. And I think those people still show up at the shows to a certain extent, but, and I don't even really begrudge them. You know, I remember reading an interview with Billy Joe years and years ago, and they said, yeah, we wanted to make a living doing this. We wanted to make some money. I wanted to buy my mom a house. And I think, you know, the Offspring and, Dropkick Murphys and Rancid and Green Day, of course, Blink 182 and all these bands. You know, the bands that make a really good living playing punk, and there are only about 10 or 12 of them, NoFX, you know, the ones that headline the beer festivals and whatnot. I think at some point they all had to make a conscious decision that they were going to do some things that maybe they shouldn't, or align themselves with people they shouldn't, you know, because, like, they just, you know, if they you want to make a good living, get rich, if you will, playing this music, I think you have to, at the very least, get into bed with some people you shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like we can cross our arms and you know, stick our tongue out at them, but I mean, that's kind of a hard, you know, it's like, listen, man, you want to work 4 or 5 months out of the year and make, you know, $500,000 a year, $1 million a year, for really only working about an hour and a half a day, you know, for 4 or 5 months out of the year.
I don't even judge them, honestly, John. You know, I played music when I was younger, but I never had I don't know that I wouldn't have taken the money and run if I would have been in a position where, but because that's it, right? That you can either have a ton of integrity and work at a gas station 10 months a year and maybe tour 2 months a year and make 30 grand a year and have no insurance, or you can, you know, if you get to that level where you're ready to make that big step, you know, I don't even blame them for making. I don't blame Dropkick Murphys for what they did. It's just not, they don't make interesting music anymore. It's not really for me anymore, you know. But they don't need me because they have, you know, they've replaced me 10 times over.
And that's what hurts the most, Tom. They don't need you anymore. You know, you mentioned NoFX. I'm not even a huge NoFX fan. I think they're okay. I think they have some good songs and a lot of songs I don't care about. But I actually think NoFX has pretty much always done what they wanted, and they've been pretty successful despite that. Don't you?
Well, they all have things that I think you could argue. I think NoFX and Rancid especially, who are two of the hugest headliners, I think they're two of the ones that you could argue, oh, they never sacrificed their integrity. But I would disagree with that. The thing with NoFX, the big thing for NoFX is they never put out an album on a major label. That used to be a huge point of legitimacy in the punk community.
Oh, but, legitimacy, but the fact, or sellout?
No, legitimacy. If you never put out an album label. So they never have. So I got to give them credit for that. But they've also licensed their name out for a lot of things and aligned themselves with a lot of corporate entities And World they're another two. when they book a tour, when you know where NoFX plays when they do their tours, John, they book through like the House of Blues type venues.
Oh, and that's Live Nation, isn't it?
And Ticketmaster, and they aligned themselves with that big brewery making that beer, and then that brewery had to pretend that they were very offended when they made that bad joke last year. But that's what happens when you know what's the old saying: lie down with dogs, get fleas. So
I've never heard that ever, but that's a good saying.
You never heard that saying?
I don't think I've ever heard that saying. No,
but yeah, there's an old saying. It's called lie down with dogs, get fleas. So it's, you know, if you're going to align yourself with corporate entities, you have to be willing to take what's going to come of that. Now, NoFX has made me, or I'm sorry, Rancid, I think, is probably the one you could point to and say they're most trying to keep the spirit of the classic punk spirit alive. But they've put out major label albums. They've also aligned themselves with a lot of people over the years. You know, they're not touring squats. They're aligned with the big ticketing companies and all that. So it's, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, I don't begrudge them their choices, but you know, in order to get to that money level, you have to give up your credibility to a certain extent.
You can
hang on to it the best you can. The bands I mentioned earlier, Rancid, NoFX, are probably the ones you could most argue have the most integrity or punk credibility or whatever. But
now I mean, there are still some punk bands that put out stuff on major labels or almost major labels or punk adjacent bands, but now if you're on a major label, no one even cares. Everyone's like, oh,
no,
that's
it's
great.
It's almost a non-point anymore because nobody sells records. But the fact of the matter is, you know, almost all the early punk bands were on what were essentially major labels at the time.
Well, that's because
the Ramones, the Sex Pistols, Damn, they were all, you know, all of them put out albums on big labels at the time.
Well, true, and indie labels did exist at the time, but not really. Like, the idea of having an independent label wasn't prevalent. It really was Crass and Discord who made the idea that says you don't have to be a major label. It was really those two bands.
Yeah. And then the whole, like, Maxim rock and roll ideology, which didn't really come around until the 80s.
Yeah.
And that, you know, don't discount the effect that had on the punk rock world, because they were big into, you know, kill your heroes, kill your idols, you know, everything that came before us, burn everything that came before us, you know, and the whole hardcore punk ethos and all that. But anyway, what are we talking about?
We're talking about what song are we going to play next? Tom, you got a song to play, or you want me to play a song?
I do have a song, John.
Take it off, then. What do we got, Tom?
I got to up my song game a little bit. I've been really lackadaisical on it. But I was talking to frequent punk news podcast writer inner Liverpool Neil. Liverpool and Neil and I speak pretty regularly. I have developed a pretty solid friendship, even though mostly like a cyber friendship. We've actually only ever been in the same room together one time.
So you've been cybering a lot, you're saying?
We do. We have been cybering a lot. We get along great. I wish we lived closer because he and I, much like yourself, John, in Philadelphia, he and I think are the guys a lot of times who like don't have anybody to go to shows with and end up going by ourselves. You know what I mean? I just don't have anybody as devoted to the lifestyle as I am to go with me all the time. But anyway, we were talking about the Mekons. At least vaguely familiar with the Mekons, because I was kind of asking what he thought of the Mekons. You know, the Mekons start out as like a London, actually, I don't know if it was London, but they were British 77 punk band, but definitely on the artsier side of things. But I asked him what he thought of them, because obviously now they're sort of like a folk collective. And musically, they've just gone all over the place over the years, honestly, kind of like what you'd call alt country and folk and world music and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, but he was telling me that the early singles are some of his very favorite singles of all time. So he sent me one, and we're going to play this early Mekons single. It's called Where Were You?
And that was the Mekons doing Where Were You? And as Tom said, John, I'm sure you're vaguely familiar with the Mekons. Mm-hmm. That's the deal with the Mekons. Everyone's vaguely familiar with the Mekons.
That's me. I mean, that's definitely me. It's one of those bands where if I didn't have to go to work and earn a living, I would certainly, you know, try to dig into them a little deeper. But isn't that the rub, you know?
That is the rub. And speaking of bands that everybody knows, Bad Religion, they're going to put out a new album on May 3. The album is called Age of Unreason, and they've released their first single. The first single is called Chaos from Within. And on the Punk News site, and actually on the Punk News Facebook too, people were saying, oh, this song is so great. This song's so good. I'm so glad that Bad Religion is back and doing this again. I did not feel that way, Tom, but I've never really been a Bad Religion fan. How about you?
You know, okay, so if we're being honest, I listened to about 30 seconds of it.
Yes.
But that being said, I did like it. It has the best Bad Religion songs have what I would call a certain natural tension to them, and I thought this seemed to have that. I know you're not a big fan of them. It's very melodic, maybe too much for your taste. But it's smart, you know. I think it's smart, and I don't think it's overly pretentious for how smart it is. I don't know. I like Bad Religion. They're a favorite of mine. I'm not gonna say they're like my favorite, but they're a favorite of mine.
I just cannot stand modern production and like the layered vocals. Like this doesn't sound like music to me. It sounds like computers, and that is where punk and I.
Dude, there's no auto-tune there. That's just harmonies, man. Just harmonies.
Well, I don't think punk should have harmony. Punk should sound like off. That's what punk should sound like, you know?
I mean, it's hard to argue with that. But once again, now you're going with the orthodoxy. And, you know, the fact of the matter is you don't believe in punk orthodoxy. You love punk bands with xylophones. And you love punk bands like World Inferno Friendship Society who do these big, epic, like, show tunes, essentially. So
then why does this track sound so
safe? You're a walking contradiction, John. I just don't think you don't have much of a you've never had much of a love for the what we'll call the 90s skate punk kind of sound stuff. And you know, and that was not my first punk love either, but a lot of our readers who are about your age, I would say the average punk news readers in the 30s, but that was their gateway punk band. You know, I talk about how I was old enough that my gateway punk bands were the original 77 bands. They were 10 years old already by the time I heard them, and most, you know, dead and gone. But that was the first punk stuff I ever heard was the Sex Pistols, the Clash, the Ramones. That was the first stuff I heard. I didn't, you know, so if I started listening it, there wasn't a ton of great punk going on in 1987. So anyway, but yeah, or the Fat Wreck comps or that kind of stuff. So you're always, you know, you and I have had, you talk about NoFX, right? You loved the last NoFX record, and to me, I was just like, meh. But the problem is, that's kind of where you came in. You know what I mean? I came in the like early, real early 90s, and man, to me, they could never top that stuff. So a lot of your entry point always has a lot to do with how you view an artist, I think.
Yeah, but to me, the last NoFX record was much more punk than anything they've put out in a long, long time.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe anything, well, I don't know. They put out those, in the early 2000s, they put out two albums in a row that were really good, like 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, around that era. But yeah, their best stuff was through the mid-90s, I thought, but a lot of people disagree. Those real early albums are too crude for a lot of people, production-wise, but I love them.
Well, speaking of people being crude, Pooja Fest is back, and Punk News has long been a fan of Pooja Fest. Sammy B, Punk News editor, Sammy B, she goes every year. I think she's gone this year. They've announced their lineup for this year. The two headliners are Against Me and Andrew WK. Also playing is the Planet Smashers, Strung Out, Sam I Am, Big D and the Kids Table, Smoker Fire, Iron Reagan, Pears, Direct Hit, Smoking Pope's, Nightbirds, Bad Cop, Ojukubu Station, Dopamines, War on Women, Sincere Engineer, and some other bands as well. Tom, I'm not going to this. This show looks cool. But there's nothing here that's really wowing me. I've seen Andrew WK twice solo, where it's just him and like a hype man and like electronic backing music. Seen him three times because I saw him do it with Marky Ramone, do all Ramone's tunes as well. And honestly, Andrew WK is awesome live. Like, he really is awesome live. And I haven't seen him with a full band. I'd like to see him with a full band. That being said, I'm not going up to Canada to see it. And Against Me's playing, but is Against Me playing a show special? Not really, you know?
No, I've seen Against Me probably 10 times.
Yeah.
You know, this represents this festival. It looks like a lot of fun. I think this is one where it's kind of like the Fest, where it's not like one big venue where everybody goes to. I think it's kind of spread around town in the little bars, which seems like it'd probably be a great fun. But when I look at all these festivals, and I don't know what it is, if it's just me being a contrarian or what, but I swear I got to get to the middle of the lineup before I give a shit about any of the bands.
Even Andrew WK?
Yeah, I saw Andrew WK one time. It was fun, but it's not my thing. I don't really get what he's doing.
He's having fun, Tom. That's what he's doing.
Well, I don't go to punk shows to have fun. But no, I go to punk shows to be annoyed. The best punk shows are the smallest punk shows, let's be honest. But the two big ones that grab me, I'd love to see Iron Reagan again, who I've seen, but I have never seen Nightbirds, and they just do not play a lot of shows in Middle America. I mean, they'll do Chicago, and that's about it. I've never even seen them play Detroit. So I'd like to see Nightbirds and Iron Reagan. Yeah, those are my picks.
I've seen Nightbirds live probably about 5 or 6 times. Nightbirds are awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, they're an East Coast band, you know, and they'll fly out and do a handful of dates West Coast, but they, you know, they're not crisscrossing the country this point.
They need to do a live record. That's what Nightbirds need to do. I think that should be their next step. I'm a little surprised that you're a big Iron Reagan fan. I've seen Iron Reagan probably like 10 times. I don't know, 5 to 10 times, because they open for all, like, they're always an opener. You know what
See,
I mean?
But that's, once again, it's an East Coast thing. You know, I've seen them a couple of times. Are you not a fan of Iron Reagan?
I'm not a hater. It's just that, yeah, they're doing throwback hardcore influenced thrash. You know, and all the songs kind of sound the same.
They might do DRI better than DRI does anymore. You know,
well they do.
I like that band a lot. Different strokes, I guess.
I've seen Municipal Waste and Iron Reagan like so many times, because they always used to open for Gwar and some other bands too.
Yeah, yeah, they're all buddies. They're all from Richmond. Yeah. I actually prefer Iron Reagan to Municipal Waste. Now, I have every Municipal Waste album. I love Municipal Waste, but I prefer Iron Reagan, actually.
I think I prefer Iron Reagan a little bit, because, you know, Municipal Waste, they're more jokey, and after a while, it's just not that funny. You know, it's like, yeah, you love to party.
They got
the
chops, though, to back it up. I think of the neo retro thrash bands, I mean, granted, I'm not really going on a limb here, but I think Municipal Waste and Toxic Holocaust are really the two that are the best to me.
See, Toxic Holocaust
can't seem to make another album. I mean, their last album was like 6 years ago, and they can't seem to get another album, huh?
I saw Nuclear Assault, and the openers were.
But they're an OG thrash band. They were great.
No, I'm saying,
at least they were.
I saw Nuclear Assault, and the openers were Iron Reagan and Toxic Holocaust. And with Toxic Holocaust, it's like, all right, you've learned your lessons, but I heard this all in 1989 or 1991.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, why, you know,
I think that, see, I like them. I think they're great. Or it's just really one guy, but I mean, I like Joel Grind's stuff, but I feel like he needs more breakdowns, more variety. I think Iron Reagan's good at doing Municipal Waste is good at doing the kind of chuggy breakdown thing. And, you know, like I said, different strokes.
See, Iron Reagan and maybe even Toxic Holocaust, I'd probably be a huge fan of those bands if they did something weird or unusual in addition to what they're doing, you know. But Toxic Holocaust, it's like so retro thrash. It's like he won't break the rules. And even Iron Reagan, they break the rules a little bit, but they won't do anything super weird, you know. What I mean, I guess the counterattack is Soulfly, who of course is much older than those bands. And so far, they've got some really bad stuff, but they've got some really neat stuff, too, because they're constantly experimenting, you know?
See, I can see that appealing to you, because they use all that weird instrumentation, the South American instrumentation, and they'll do that. I was a big Soulfly fan years and years and years ago. I was a huge Sepultura fan, and I saw Soulfly a bunch of times back in the day, but it's been quite a few years.
Back to the primitive. First time I saw Soulfly, the whole stage was like basically dressed up like Apocalypse Now, like with a bunch of like plants, but like army netting and camo and stuff. And then they had like skulls all over. It was cool. I haven't seen Soulfly in probably 15 years, but I should go see them again.
Yeah, I say it's probably been 10 years for me. Well, you know, there's this big tour coming through, and I'm probably gonna have to go see it. Not because any of the bands are so great, but just because there's so many bands, it seems like a good bang for your buck. And it's the Hatebreed 25th anniversary tour, and I cannot get into Hatebreed. Hatebreed is one of those bands where it seems like I should like them, but I just cannot get into them. But it's Hatebreed, Obituary, Madball, Prong, and Skeletal Remains. And I haven't, and I got to tell you, I'm willing to, it's only $25. I'm willing to pay just to see Prong and Madball. I haven't seen Prong for so long. I'm looking forward to it.
They don't really tour that much anymore, Prong.
No, because, well, Tommy Victor plays with Danzig, but Danzig is on indefinite hiatus, it seems like.
He's making his movie right now.
He's making his movie. How good is that going to be?
Oh, God. So Tom and I are part of the Secret Misfits Facebook group that's not that secret, and they're like, check out some photos from the pre-production, and everyone's
it
like...
It looks so B-grade, doesn't it?
It looks like an episode of Highlander from the 90s, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, God.
It's going to be... What's going to be the movie poster, John? The movie poster for this. Are you someone who likes to beat off to comic books? Then you'll love the Glenn Danzig live action movie.
Look, it's just going to be like a B grade, like soft porno. It's like, what's the point? You know,
I don't know. You know, maybe he'll shock the world, but honestly, the guy's got such an amazing body of work. And, you know, I love to make fun of Danzig. I like to say it when I think his stuff's not good, which I haven't been thrilled with anything he's done for a long time.
Last album was really good, Tom. The last album was really good.
That being said, you know, the guy's a legend. I think you'd be hard pressed to name more than a handful of guys, if at all, that were more influential in two genres of music. And, you know, but is he going to sully his, you know, he's already got these stupid comics. I mean, is he going to sully his reputation further with this?
No, because I mean, like, he's been putting out the comics for 20 years. Have you ever read a Danzig comic? Tom,
you know,
they're so bad.
It's not for me.
It's like dudes drawing pictures of naked women for other dudes to beat off to. It's like it's a weird vibe going on. You know what I mean? And they're not good. But
so anybody can beat off to a straight up naked woman. You got to be a real man to get into like some fake demon chick.
Yeah, I mean, like like his comic books, they're illustrated.
No, they are. And you know, and you could see that with even his albums, you know, and the videos, they got more and more graphic and more nudity in the inside of the inserts and all that. There's a video out there, I can't remember what song is It's Coming Down. There's a like an X-rated video with all this S&M stuff in it, and there's tons of penis in it. And I remember seeing on our Seventh House Friends group, somebody said, hey, the uncensored video is up on YouTube. Who knows how long it'll last before it gets taken down, so go check it out. And I went and checked it out, and I'm like, and there was a little bit of boob, but there was tons of schlong. I mean, this thing hit.
Well, Tom, I mean, what's wrong with that? You know what I mean?
Dude, there was a mile.
It's good for the gander, you know what I mean?
I guess, but you think Danzig crowd wants to see cock and balls?
Maybe they do. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know,
I guess I don't know either. But you know, I've been listening to the guy for 30 plus years, and I don't. But hey, whatever.
Well, listen. If he's showing breasts, then he should be showing wieners. You know what I mean?
Like, he's not showing little Glenn.
Speaking of weirdos, Peter Murphy, just actually it's out right now, has put out a live album. It's called Live in London. On the tour that he's on right now, he's doing all Bauhaus set with David J of Bauhaus and the rest of his band. They do In the Flat Field in its entirety, and then they do basically a second set of other Bauhaus, not greatest hits, but Bauhaus tracks. And I saw this tour about 10 days ago, 15 days ago. Tom, it was amazing. Like he sounded.
I've been hearing wonderful things about this.
I saw Peter.
Did you not write it? You didn't write it up, did you?
No, I was going to this week, but I was getting ready for World Inferno weekend, so I didn't have time. I'm still going to do it, mainly because I'm trying to get an interview with him. Man, I'll tell you, look, like I saw him do all Bauhaus twice before. The one show was amazing. The second one was very good, not amazing. This last one blew it all out of the water. Like it's almost. To a degree, you could say it's better than Bauhaus Live for two reasons. A, it's in a much smaller venue. Well, three reasons. A, it's much cheaper than Bauhaus Live. B, it's in a much smaller venue. C, they really do, I want to do, say, punk versions, and that the versions are quicker, rawer, a little looser, but they punch really hard. Whereas if you see Bauhaus, it's all very orchestrated. And Tom, he sounds so good. And also, David J on bass, like, you wouldn't think he would add that. He really does add a whole other level to the band. And it is amazing live. And this live record is – I'm so happy. He actually put out a live CD of him doing all Bauhaus before, but they really screwed the pooch because they took the mix from the DVD version. And instead of doing – instead of, like, spending literally 30 minutes to make it fitting for stereo, they just did a fold down. But the problem is DVDs, there's only one vocal track and four other tracks. So you can't hear him singing. You could barely hear him singing in the old – in the Peter Murphy Does Bauhaus from 5 years ago. So it was a total waste of a release. This new release corrects all that. You can hear them crystal clear. And Tom, it's great. It's amazing. Mm. I recommend everybody go see this tour. It's awesome.
Yeah, you got to hear that deep voice or it's no good.
I mean, honestly, he's Peter Murphy, Bauhaus. Tom, you're a Bauhaus fan, right?
Yeah, I'm a casual fan, but I do like them. I'm not a, you know, I don't dress like a vampire or...
I love Bauhaus, but man, Peter, with the exception of his last solo album, which was great, Peter Murphy's solo stuff is so bad. It's like,
I was going to say, I don't know that much. I don't know that much. I'm pretty much only familiar with like greatest hits type stuff, so, but I do like it.
Well, listen, I'll tell you, I mean, like, is he going to do all Bauhaus again? Like, it seems like he does it once every 5 years. He's about 65 now, or it's maybe 60. So, this
yeah, is... No, I bet you're right the first time. I bet you between 65 and 70, but...
He's doing a residency in San Francisco. I might fly out just so I get to see it one more time. It's that good. Like, it's good. It's like, if you like Bauhaus, this show will blow your mind. Let's play a track from that live album. I know I've been playing Bauhaus a lot over the past year, but it's so good. Let's do, I don't know, I'll decide later on, but this is a track from the new live album. It's called Live in London. It's Peter Murphy and David J doing all Bauhaus, and it is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Check it out.
This is dedicated to Daniel Ash and Kevin Haskins. Following the silent hedges, needing some other kind of madness. Looking into purple lights, sadness at the corners. What's the part with a minimum of steel? Pure sensation. The beautiful downgrade. Going to hell again. Going to hell again.
And we're back, and that was Peter Murphy doing the Bauhaus. Tom, let's blast through these last couple of stories here. Teenage Bottle Rocket, new album coming out, new song released. People are loving it. What's your stance?
I thought it was fine. Didn't blow my mind, but it was. I'm pretty cool with this band. I'm pretty cool with their Ramones core fun. Now, if I want to go to have fun at a show, John, I go to see Teenage Bottle Rocket. But no, I think it's cool. It didn't blow my mind.
I just can't get into it. I mean, I just can't get into this stuff. It's safe, you know, and punk shouldn't be safe to me. And people love this, but it's like there's nothing here that's scaring me. Nothing here that's moving me. It's like here's kind of some Ramones core that's even poppier than the Ramones, you know. And I don't hate this band, and people dig them, but I. And Tom, we discussed this a little bit before, and I'm not going to hate on the Punk News readership because we got a lot of great readers, but a lot of the commenters, it's like, well, are they into punk or are they into Epiphat pop punk from the 90s? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's you know, but this, you know, Punk News has never been maximum rock and roll. You know what I mean? We're not catering to the Discharge crowd.
Well, I'm trying to increase that. I really would like to cover a lot of like the underground hardcore punk and like nastier punk. The problem with that is a lot of that stuff is just kind of going by the formula too. And everyone's like, oh, have you heard the new, you know, cassette by, you know, I don't know.
Have you heard the new Disfear, Disclose, Changer.
And people like freak out over it. They're like, oh, it's so great. And then 6 months later, no one gives a shit. And you get really involved in all this stuff, and then you get sick of it because it actually all does sound the same, and it's all retro.
You get a new 7-inch with 14 songs on it, and it sounds like it was recorded with the microphone shoved up the bass player's ass.
Yeah, and it's all retro. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really not into the retro thing too much. Speaking of an underground band that is in kind of the Discharge scene or the underground punk scene. Devil Master, they released a new track. It's called Her Thirsty Whip. It's off their upcoming debut full length, Satan Spits on the Children of Light. I've seen this band live 3 times, I think. They're good. They're real good. I dig this band. I guess the only drawback is all the songs do kind of like not a lot of the songs have unique characteristics. It's almost more like a feeling or a texture than it is song. But this is cool, and I'm liking how, you know, it's kind of funny, but it's kind of serious too. Tom, what's your stance on this? Would you say this is the antithesis of Teenage Bottle Rocket, or is it the same thing as Teenage Bottle Rocket?
Well, it's funny because at first, before the vocals kick in, I didn't think it was that heavy, but the vocals are definitely sort of frantic. I don't think it's as out there as some things. To me, it's, you know what, you're going to be pissed when I tell you what it reminded me of. It reminded me of like a more extreme version of Ghost.
You saw that from some comment that somebody put there.
This is, oh, not, did it? I actually didn't see that.
Oh, I don't think it sounds like Ghost.
John, I listened to 1 minute of each of the media things before we started this. But no, I didn't see that. But that's what it reminded me of, because it was so smooth. It almost had like a, you know, and here's what I think about Ghost, and here's my hot take on Ghost, right?
They suck. That's my hot take.
A lot of people love them, but Ghost is the new Dokken. It's pretend occultic pop metal. That's what it is. It's Dokken, dude. Without, like, the sweet guitar work of George Lynch. I don't know. Yeah, it's not for me. It doesn't do anything for me.
With Dokken or Devil Master?
Well, either. But no, that's what Ghost is to me. I don't know what Devil Master, because it got sort of heavy and sort of weird. It reminded me of, well, like I said, kind of reminded me of Ghost until the vocals started. But then when the vocals started, it reminded me of this. Last year I listened to, I reviewed and I really enjoyed this weird, like, Sam Hain tribute album. When nobody really did a straight up version of any of the Sam Hain songs. They were all sort of wild takes. And that's what it sort of reminded me of, was the wild, like, takes on Sam Hain that these metal bands did. I don't know. I didn't hate it. I would listen to more. I don't know if it's up my alley or not. Jury's still kind of out.
They're cool. This band is.
Have you seen them live? You've seen them live?
Yeah, like two or three times. They're live. They all wear like corpse makeup, and then some of them wear like capes, and they put a giant spider web in front of the stage. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Wow, that's not really. But that's not super original. It's sort of like cliched, isn't it?
The question is that cliche and making a comment on that, or is it just cliche? I don't know. You know what I mean? So.
Well, yeah, it's funny because, you know, some bands are trying to be ironic and some bands aren't, but at some point, does it really make a difference?
Well, Devil Master isn't trying to be ironic. I at least know the guitar player is into that stuff. Like, it's not supposed to be a funny band, you know, but the question is, how self-aware are they, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
You were talking about how the Samhain album is like radical. The tracks are radically different. Morrissey's putting out a covers album, and he released a Roy Orbison cover, a cover of Roy Orbison's It's Over, and it was not radical. It was basically a pretty straight, you know, take of the track. And most of the covers here are covers of 50s and 60s AM pop tracks. You know, Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, Fifth Dimension, Phil Oakes, Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, you know, I guess the outlier would be Jabriath, and that's pretty much the only outlier. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day appears on it, but for the most part, it's covers of 60s AM pop stuff. You know, the covers album, most covers albums are not that good. There are a few that are exceptional. I'm a big Morrissey fan, but to me, this just looks like I didn't really know what to do, so I'm just doing a covers album just to put something out. That's what this reads to me.
It's surprising. Isn't it surprising that he feels compelled to put stuff out?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, his fans don't care. He could tour endlessly if he showed up without putting out any new music. He doesn't need to put out new music.
So I guess credit to him for putting out new music then. I mean, you're right, you know.
But this is sort of, you know, I'll say the same thing I said about the Weezer album. That being said, I haven't heard every song. I heard a little bit of all the Weezer songs. You know, is it going to be all this lazy? Where it's basically Morrissey does karaoke of the songs he grew up listening to on the radio.
Yeah, the answer is I think it will be. I was hoping.
No, you're the Morrissey apologist, so you put a spin on this. Tell me why this is good.
You're asking me just as an intellectual exercise to put a spin on it.
No, or as a Morrissey fanboy.
Well, I'm not a fanboy. Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan, but I'm not a fanboy. I'm going to buy this because I buy every Morrissey thing, music wise. That is, but
dude, save your money for the Danzig Elvis covers album.
Yeah,
it's been in the works for like since 1995.
And in the Danzig, they're like, has anybody heard anything about the Danzig thing? You know, and then the main guy, he's always like, he's working on it. He's working on it. It's like, yeah. he's still working.
I'm gonna
on
shut
it.
Down. I'm gonna shut down the comments on this thread.
Tell me
inside jokes. I wish they could all experience the joy of this website, but you know, we must keep it cultish at 18,000 of us or whatever it is.
This Morrissey covers album, you know, it's all right. It's disappointing. Honestly, like, some bands can do really cool covers albums because they're like way out and different. Like the Melvins covers album is the best Melvins covers album there is. It's awesome. The Slayer one is fantastic. The Alice Cooper one is very, very
good. I love Undisputed Attitude, dude. I love it.
That's so good. Part of it is because it doesn't even feel like a covers album. It feels like a Slayer doing punk, you know? I actually wish Slayer did a full punk album. Like there's like, what, 4 or 5 punk tracks they wrote on that album for...
I think they were leftovers from... one of Hanneman's early bands.
That's right. That's what I wish they did.
But there was one original song at the end that was really good too, called Gemini. But that was just like a regular Slayer song.
Yeah, yeah.
But see, man, that was good.
I wish they did like a full punk album with Hanneman. That honestly, like, that might have been the last time that Hanneman was really involved in like Slayer direction. You know, it really was. You know.
But nah, what was that? 94?
Yeah, something like that.
Because I would say the God Hates Us All album was pretty good in 2001.
Yeah, but Hanneman didn't really do much on. That's all Kerry King.
Hanneman was real involved until it was only the last
album
was the only one that he wasn't really able to do anything on, wasn't it? Even then, he wrote a lot. He just wasn't able to.
Because
I know he had a hand in World Pain and Blood. What was the last album? What was the last album, John?
The very last one was. Not
World Pain and Blood?
No. It had a dumb title. It's a great album. It had a dumb title.
Repentless.
Repentless. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, listen, I wasn't there. I don't know. But,
Hate the title.
The band was in better hands when Hanneman was at the wheel, but.
Well, it definitely was. I mean, Kerry King's an amazing soloist, but that's all he does. And he's not a great songwriter, you know.
I don't even know if he's a great soloist. He's a unique soloist. But I mean, I don't know that he's that technically proficient. I mean, it works for what they do.
Oh, well, actually, I would say he's not the most technically proficient, but that's why Slayer is awesome. Because Slayer has always had that punk tinge to them, you know, where bands that are full on metal, it gets kind of boring, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I listen. Yeah, it's good stuff. Well, I miss them.
So somehow, instead of talking about Morrissey, we're talking about how we love Slayer and miss their classic era.
Dude, screw Morrissey. Morrissey's cool. We need to talk more about Slayer and Danzig and you know, you were talking earlier about how we have no rules and how we're unstructured. Sometimes I just like to, you know, try to throw the train off the rails because the news of the week is not that interesting.
We're really staying involved in the contemporary punk scene by talking about Danzig and Slayer.
Exactly. Bunch of 60-year-old guys.
But this Morrissey's covers album, I'm not that excited by it. I don't even really care about like any of the guests except for like maybe Petra Hayden. I do wish he did some punk. Like, Morrissey has done a bunch of punk covers throughout his career, although honestly, they're usually not that good. He's covered the New York Dolls 3 times. He covered the Ramones.
The Ramones, yeah.
I think he even did the Sex Pistols live once or something like that.
But, you know what would be good is if he covered Slayer.
I think
that would really liven up his set a little bit. Do like a little Rain and Blood or Angel of Death, maybe.
He's done weird stuff. I mean, not like he could do like Rain and Blood, you know, like Raining Blood. I mean, he's done weird stuff like that before, and that's why Morrissey's interesting. Like, he's done some really weird stuff, especially live. But
Mother, he could do Mother, dude. That would be so good.
That would be. Hey, you know who did an awesome cover of Mother was Flock of Dimes. What's her name? Flock of Dimes. The blonde singer from Baltimore. What's her name? Give me 1 second. Wee Oak, she did an amazing version of Danzig's Mother that everyone should check out.
I don't know what that is.
So anyways, I mean, that's about the news for this week, Tom. Not a whole lot of crazy stuff, you know? Kind of, yeah, man, that's what's happening. I don't know, man, anything else you want to talk about?
Adam has updated on the Punk News podcast, and apparently he's got 3 more. He managed to edit like 3 episodes while we were recording this one, so. Good on you, Adam.
Good on you, Adam. Good on you. All right. Well, listen, Tom. thanks for being on the podcast this week.
Yeah, man. It was fun as usual without Adam, our evil overlord / oppressor, keeping us from, you know, saying all the wacky things we wanted to say.
And we'll see. Not. And we'll see. Tom, should we play a song or what should we do? Or should we just cut it off?
I don't know. Did we each play a song so far?
We each played a song so far.
Yeah, I don't have another song. I'm still trying to get my crap together when it comes to the song playing. So,
all right.
Kids, send me your MP3, kids.
Don't.
TomC7G@gmail.com. Send me a single MP3, and I will consider playing it on the show.
If you're lucky, Tom will give you his he will deign upon you his attention. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny, John.
Don't the beat just come in so smoothly? What's going on, J-Dog? This Nicky took the motherfucking beat. We gon' start it off like this. With a lot of knock, I don't stop. Don't you hear me beating all your block like? Don't you hear me beating all your block like? Don't you hear me beating all your block like? With a lot of knock, I don't stop. I need a lot more shaking and a little less stealing. A lot more rapping and a little less japping. A lot more clapping, but a little less working. A lot more mixing, but a little less. just like all the hoes who stole my songs. We will never ever get along, so please create your own, leave mine alone. Let's go, love me when I'm gone, just like all the hoes who stole my songs. We will never ever get along, so please create your own, leave mine alone. Wait.
Break them, 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 break them